Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Good morning, Dr. Looper.
Good morning, Haley.
How are you?
Good. Doing tip top.
Good. Well, something I've been thinking about recently is summer. It's on all of our minds. We're reaching 40 degrees. It's bright, sunny. The sun's staying out until 9 o'clock at night now.
Yeah, the turn has come.
And I am not where I wanted to be in regards to my weight goals. I let my winter fluff stay on too long.
You know, if you did, it stayed on honestly, because we just had the coldest winter on average on record since they started, you know,
keeping records. Yeah.
Boy, we sure have a lot of instinct to put on weight.
Yeah, well, and my exercise was off. I didn't get out and ski as much as I have in the past. Because who's skiing at 40 below? I'm not. There are people out there who are, but...
Of course.
Yeah, I am not one of those.
I'm mostly exercising indoors.
Yeah.
In the dark, in the cold, right? So, you can do it. You get enough armor on, you can go outside and do it. But it takes some extra steps, for sure.
So, annoyingly enough, after every episode, it all comes down to eat right and exercise.
You kind of know where this is going to go. You want to talk about weight loss? I'll tell you right now how to lose weight. Turns out, one of the best ways to lose weight, if you just actually want to lose weight, is quit eating.
That's it?
It works. You lose weight, for sure. Really, the research is rock solid. Oh, for a little while. And then it all comes back and some.
Yeah, and then also when you quit eating, you're hangry. Or at least I get hangry and I get emotional and...
Oh yeah, there's a price to pay. You know, when you look at the not eating method of losing weight, it is effective. But if you look at the long-term success rate of the not eating method of losing weight, its effectivity diminishes somewhat. The effective rate of just not eating and then starting to eat again and keep your weight off is 2%. So it's 98% chance of failing and a 2% chance of succeeding. That's pretty low odds. I don't really recommend that. We have had lots and lots of diets that have come by, you know, in our community. And, you know, we're here to serve. We're here to help people. And so we look at the various things, the hormone shots, HCG shots, and the ideal protein diet, and the South Beach diet, and the...
Mediterranean diet.
Keto diet, whatever, there's a zillion different diets.
Keto diet,
carnivore diet. There's all kinds of diets.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've discovered is if the diet is a lifestyle and you can stay on it forever, then it works.
Yeah.
You can do it. I mean, I'm not going to say it works for everybody, but, you know, if it works for you, then it works. But if you plan on doing it for a little while and then going back off and doing what you did before, it doesn't work. It just won't work.
And that's what I hear about keto. People do it and they lose a bunch of weight and then they go back to eating regular and then they put all the weight back on.
Yep, that's it. That's the thing. So let's talk about why you would want to diet, because this is going to take, whatever you're going to do, it's going to take some effort. So you want to be clear about what your motivation is.
Mm-hmm.
So you got some ideas about why people would diet?
They want summer bodies. They want to look good in shorts. They want to go look good in swimsuits.
Yeah.
They want to be...
We call it vanity, but vanity sells it short. What we want to say is, you know, we have an instinct to mate.
Right.
To hook up, right?
Yeah.
And to, you know, have the species continue on. So there's this scanning program that our brains do, looking for the best there's available. And we'd want to be in, you know, the better than average for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the top 10%. Wouldn't that be lovely? There it is. There's a real life, as real as it gets, reason to be slender. Just call it what it is. This vanity thing turns out to be real. If you're already married and you already had your kids and everything's already worked out and, you know, your DNA is happy and satisfied, you know, the species is continuing on,
right?
And your contribution to future generations is all set. Then why?
Health.
Yeah, longevity.
Yep.
And feeling good. Just having the energy to do it.
And being able to keep up with your kids.
If you're too heavy, it's hard to get around. It's hard to go upstairs. It's hard to run. It's hard to, you know, do a lot of different kinds of things. It's hard to do sports. It's hard to breathe sometimes.
Yeah.
I had a patient came in yesterday. He said, Dr. Looper, I have too much weight around my middle and it's hard for me to catch my breath. It's hard for me to take a deep breath. There's just like pressure around my abdomen. Though it's interesting, health, it's real. Again, it's real. This thing where you, if you're more slender, you're more healthy, but not as much as you think. That's weird. You'd think it'd be more, and it's not. It turns out that people are pleasantly plump, do fine. They live long, they are healthy, they got energy, they do everything they need to do. You actually, from the health perspective, don't need to be as skinny as a twig. And you do fine, really.
Yeah.
The research has been rock solid on this. Now, there's different kinds of weight. There's the weight around the middle, the apple shape.
Right.
That's more detrimental to your health. That's more associated with blood sugar problems, more associated with diabetes, more associated with heart disease, more associated with stroke, cancer, all that stuff. So there's a shape. If you're all around the middle, yeah, it's a problem. Uh-huh. Now, if you got your weight on your hips, right, down low, you get the pear shape.
Uh-huh.
Slender on top, weight on the bottom. That, you know, if it, I mean, there's exceptions and excesses and those kinds of things. Remember, everything I say is oversimplification.
Sure.
It has to be, right? As I'm telling you these things, I'm thinking the exceptions. Nonetheless, push deceptions aside. On average, way, way more than just on average. In general, that's a better way to say it. People who put their weight on down low are fine.
Okay.
It's not a health problem.
And I've heard, too, that your muscle mass in your quads and in your legs is directly associated to longer longevity.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a sign of health. That's what it is. It's a sign of your ability to manifest effectively in the world. Do stuff. Accomplish things.
Yeah.
There's a confidence that comes from it. There's an energy that comes from it. There's
an
engagement.
So the bigger your quads, the bigger your hamstrings, the bigger your glutes, the longer you live.
Right, because there's a vitality that goes along with this. You know, it's interesting.
And it's nothing to do with muscle metabolization or...
You have to be healthy to do it.
Okay, yeah, true.
In other words, you just said, healthy people live longer.
Sure, yeah.
Why? Because they're healthy.
Yep.
Okay, what are the manifestations of health? You know, your heart works well, your brain works well, your eyes work well,
your
skin's good, your muscles are good. It's on the list.
Yeah.
There it is.
Okay.
That's it. It's a sign of this health. There's other things you can look at as well and measure health. Okay, so if the health thing is there, there's certain situations where it really behooves you to lose weight. There's other situations where it's you know, for good, clean fun. We should just do it for fun. Now, the reason why I want to go into this more detailed analysis of motivation is because some of the options in front of us aren't particularly healthy. Okay, let's just go right to the heart of this matter. GLP-1 agonists. What a great invention that has been. That
so
is the most effective weight loss drug ever invented. You heard what I said?
Yeah.
Most effective, without a doubt. The best of any. Better than fen-phen, better than amphetamines, better than anything else that's ever been looked at. And there's a lot of drugs you can take to lose weight.
Yeah.
But they got these, you know, horrible side effects, life-wrecking side effects. Whereas GLP-1 agonists... not so much, except for, they do have side effects. It turns out, if you don't know this, maybe people don't know this yet, they're going to know pretty soon, which is most people can't tolerate the side effects, won't tolerate side effects. That's probably the better way to say it. I mean, your life depends on it, you can tolerate the side effects.
And what are the side effects?
Gut problems.
Okay. So they're not digesting food?
Yeah. It slows down your digestion. It's part of the reason why it works.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I'm good.
Because you're not hungry.
I'm good. Yeah, I don't need anything. I'm good. I got stuff in me already, right? So that thing where I've had enough kicks on. And as long as you don't overeat, it usually works pretty good. But if you have a tendency to overeat because you're trying to feel better, because you're bummed or you're tired.
Or you just want a little boost.
Yeah, a little boost, right? And this is what you've been doing. And this strategy of life is what led you to be overweight to begin with.
Yeah, most people who are overweight or have problems with their weight are associated to, like, food addictions.
Yeah.
So they've been eating to feel better and cope for a while.
Yeah, not everybody, but you're right. Most people, it's a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that ends with the GLP-1. That is really the chief benefit of that class of medications is that those cravings for stuff, not just food, but other stuff too, goes down.
Okay.
And so it really makes a difference. Mm-hmm. The people have lost a lot of weight, and they keep it off as long as they stay on the medication. Now, we had a show about this before, but not everybody saw it, so let me review the salient points here, which is the weight loss happens early in the lifespan of the drug, usually within the first 9 months. After that, it slows. Sometimes it just doesn't occur at all. There are people who are immune to the effects of GLP-1 stuff. They're not common, but they do exist. Most people will lose weight, and most people will continue to lose weight until about a year, 12 months, 15 months, something like that, into using the drug let me show you with my hands. Starts high, goes down low, and then levels out. Mm. And so that's the levels out. And so if you keep taking the medication, you stay on the level. You just lower whatever that lower is, 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 40 pounds, whatever, something like that, depending on who you are. The more weight you started with, the more weight you lose, typically. And as long as you can tolerate the side effects with the gut problems, mostly is what it is. There's some also connective tissue problems, joint problems, things like that show up as well. Anyways,
skin thinning problems.
Stuff like that. So what happens is as long as you can tolerate the side effects and stay on the medication, the weight loss will maintain.
So indefinitely, you have to be on this medication?
Yeah, you have to be on indefinitely. And you know, how many people actually fit in that category? I don't know. The research isn't solid yet because it's still relatively early on. Maybe 35%, 40%, somewhere around there, will actually take the drug, be able to get the benefit of the drug, and continue taking the drug. Not more than 50%. Less than half the people who take it really get the benefits that the others do.
Mm-hmm.
Most people will lose weight, but then they can't stand the side effects. Honestly, most people. So, again, and the thing is you have to keep taking it forever. And it's relatively expensive, there's that. I mean, if you've got a lot of money, I guess it's okay. But if you don't have a lot of money, it could be a drag. And then if you quit taking it, the chances you're going to gain the weight back runs around 85%. So not the 98% that we talked about, you know, regular crash diets, where you just don't eat. But still, the chances are good, better than good, you know, that you're going to gain all the weight back and some. It's not usually gaining the weight back and then you're back to what you were. No, it's and some.
And some.
You're higher than you were at the end of the process than you did when you start.
Well, I feel like that is kind of the way it goes for all types of crash diets, crash medications. They gain the weight back and some.
Yeah, can you think of any reason why you'd want to do a crash diet or you want to do a GLP-1?
I thought GLP-1s were created for insulin.
Like, do you treat diabetes?
Uh-huh.
Diabetes does get better. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, it's not a long-term drug.
Why would you want to as, like, a weight loss?
No, I can tell you the perfectly good reason. Because there's a wedding coming up.
Yeah.
And you need to get in your dress.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the reason. But it's the reason we talked about before. Because, you know, it's important to you to look in. You know, vital, even. And then there you go. You got a perfectly good reason to do it. Now, that, it's worth noting that is a thing, and it's a valid reason. It really is. I mean, you know, people's lives are on the line. The meaningful life that they have ahead of them is on the line.
Their goals, their aspirations.
Yeah. So it's something to consider. You also got to consider the side effects and the fact that if you're just trying to come up with a shortcut here, then that's exactly what it is. It's a shortcut, but it's not a lifestyle. It won't linger. It doesn't last. And you end up having problems with it. So that's just how it goes. Of course it does.
Yeah.
You pause for more than 2 seconds, you can see, it's going to boil down to eat right and exercise.
That's where I'm going next. So you're telling us we have to build a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Of eating right and exercising.
That's what actually works.
Ugh.
That's what actually works. You want to talk about the most effective diet that there ever was, head and shoulders above everything else, is eat right and exercise is not the right way to say it. It's like this. What you want to do is you want to set up a system and then run that system. That system is, okay, I'm going to eat breakfast. Now, I'm not telling you what the system is. I'm just giving you some ideas. I'm going to eat breakfast every day. I'm going to eat nuts and berries every day. I'm going to have some nuts, and I'm going to put some berries on it. I'm going to eat some berries and put some nuts in it, okay? And then I'm eating my nuts and berries. Now, maybe I'm going to eat an egg because I need the protein, though there's some protein in the nuts. Or throw some yogurt on top, same reason. Or, you know, something like that. As long as it's not too carby. We're not going to do nuts and berries and then a pancake.
Right.
Now, you're working cross purposes. That's not going to work.
No.
Maybe if you're 15, it might work.
Yeah, okay? Maybe if you're a kid.
You get 35.
Like, I'm thinking
those
about
days
the breakfast I made my kid this morning. I made her an English muffin, egg, bacon sandwich.
Yeah, kids and young people can handle the carbs more better than older folks. But
right.
The problem with that, too, is you set up a pattern where you start thinking, when I eat English muffins, I feel happy. And I want to feel happy, so I'm going to eat an English muffin because I remember my mom used to make it for me. And now, there you go. You know, that's pie.
Yeah.
You know, my mom, she made lasagna.
Uh-huh.
And that was the happy food
We had lasagna last night.
Excellent food.
Great.
Boy,
yeah.
What a great food. Satisfying. Yeah, and my mom made it healthy. She put some spinach in it.
Ooh.
I'd say about 20 leaves.
That cooks down to, like, nothing.
She made a layer of spinach, right? I can't say it was that healthy, honestly, when you get down to it.
Well, with 7 different types of cheeses, then.
Anyway, so there's a saying, and it was fabulous, next day was better, right? I know that. When was the last time I had lasagna? Never. I mean, I don't eat lasagna. I can't eat lasagna. Lasagna is a carb fest.
Yeah.
There's no way I can do it. So whatever, you set up a system, and then for lunch you have the same system, and for dinner you have the same system, whatever the system is, and then you run it. Now, in order to run a system, you got to have some feedback and let you know how you're doing. And the feedback in this case is your weight. Uh-huh. So it behooves you, even though this is the psychology, this is hard, to weigh yourself every day. Now, there's people who won't weigh themselves every day because it's a mind thing and it throws them off. Those people are less successful by research. We're not just my opinion. We're just looking at, you run them, which group is more successful, the non-weighers or the weighers? The weighers. Why? Because they've got their eyes on the prize. They'll adjust as they go along. They can see what's happening, right? Now you say, well, the non-weighers, they can tell too. They can tell how their clothes fit. They can tell how their energy is. Yeah, but it's more subtle. It's easier to ignore. It's easier to take your eyes off it. In fact, you want to get down to...
And it's not like after a few weeks you might notice how different your clothes are feeling. You're not getting a day-to-day snapshot, so you're not getting the progress as it dwindles down or as it increases.
Yeah, so the,
just one day.
The problem is day-to-day your weight goes up, it goes down, goes up, goes down. And so you think
it
goes up, you feel bad, it goes down,
you
feel better, up and down, water, cycle, whatever. There's a zillion things that affect it. What that is static. There is a hum to our life when we measure things. There's a background hum. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down, it goes up. Now, it's not hum to the second, it's hum to the week.
Right.
Right? There's a weekly, monthly, yearly hum to our lives, right? Even daily, to that matter. I mean, things are going up as the day goes on, but there's a hum. So what you have to do is you have to be able to not get caught up in reading the hum. What you have to do instead is look for the trend. Okay, so with weight, the length of time that has to pass before you could kind of discern what the trend is about a week. Now, if you're really good at reading trends, you could pick it up in about 5 days. But even then, it's dodgy because you're not sure exactly what it is. But a week into it, the pattern really starts to show. 2 weeks into it, it's rock solid. And the best way to do this, to actually see that pattern, is to not just weigh yourself. Okay, let's go back to the research. The research says people who weigh themselves lose weight and keep it off better than people who don't weigh themselves. Mm-hmm. So this is a real thing. This is the thing we should tell everybody so that they know.
Yeah.
If you want to know what the answer is weigh yourself. And if you look at the people who weigh themselves, and then the ones who either just, you know, think of it, or ones who write it down, or even graph it, the graphers do better than the writers, who do better than the people who don't write it down.
Okay, so you need to
more clear
write it down and graph
on a graph. You want to do a graph. There's two ways to do this. We can get some graph paper from the office supply store and just start plotting, right? You learn how to do that in school.
Sure.
Turns out whoever thought you'd ever do that again.
Yeah, no, not. Definitely
it's a thing you could do.
Unless, you know, working in statistics or something, but.
The other thing that you can do is you can get a program on your phone. Type the numbers in, it buffs up by itself.
Yeah.
Guess what? There's an app for that.
Back in the day, before I became a mom, I was a bodybuilder. And I recorded everything I ate. I recorded every little activity I made. I recorded all my weight training, all of my cardio. I didn't go into graphing, but I was losing 2 pounds a week, and that was my goal.
Yeah, so you're in it to win it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens. If you're really serious about doing this, you put the time and energy into doing it. So now we're back to motivation. That's why we started a conversation with motivation, because motivation is key.
Yes.
You have to think, how much do I care, because that's how much energy I'm going to put into this thing.
Right.
And when you set up the pattern, it's nice to get some feedback. Is it working? Is this the correct pattern, right?
Right.
If the pattern is, I've learned to not eat the whole bag of chips, I'm just taking the chips and sprinkling them in a little bowl, and I'm eating little bowl chips. Is that working? Now, sometimes it will.
But you're still eating the chips.
Sometimes it'll be fine. I'm not saying a chip diet is the best diet. I'm just saying there are different people in the world. Some people can tolerate a small amount of chips and they're fine. Other people eat chips and it totally throws them.
Good for those people.
They're lucky. The lucky few. The majority of us can't eat chips.
No.
You eat chips and you gain weight. It triggers this hormone
thing. I look at chips and I gain weight.
You know, that's true. That's actually a thing.
I look at them and I get
Let me tell you how it works. Here's the mechanism. You see a bag of chips and you go, ooh. And so in anticipation of chips coming to you, your body releases insulin. Because you know your blood sugar is going up.
Uh-huh.
And your body doesn't want to wait around. It wants to be on top of it. Just because we're efficient, right?
We know.
We're ready, bing, bang, boom. And so our insulin goes up. Now, if you don't eat the chips, you got this insulin going up. What's the purpose of insulin? Is to take sugar and pack it away into fat. So you take the sugar in your blood that just happened to be there from other stuff you ate, and then you make a little bit of fat with that. And so you actually really gain weight from looking at chips.
Can't look at chips.
Except for the classic example is not chips, it's bakery.
Uh-huh.
Because you're walking by. You've been in there 100 times before. They got those things, you know, the
chocolate
puffy ones with the chocolate
croissants.
On them. Oh, fabulous. And you can smell them because they're pumping the smell out. And then now you really get you get the full-blown thing. Your mouth starts to water and your body leans in. That's when you start gaining weight. Walking by the bakery.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
Mm-hmm.
It actually happens. We are really designed for weight gain.
Yeah.
We species,
want to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
We
that's what it is. The one of us who are good, who the people who are really good at packing on weight, if anything happens, those ones are going to survive.
Yeah.
Donner Party, right? We're stuck at this pass. We can't get through. We have nothing to eat.
Oregon Trail.
Yeah, Oregon Trail, whatever. You know, stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then the ones who can live off their fat, they're the ones who make it longer, and then somebody, you know, the weather breaks, and then we get out, and, you know, we lost 4 or 5 of them, but these ones survived. Those ones, the ones are good at doing this weight storing thing, slow metabolism thing. So if you're one of those people, you got to count yourself among the lucky few that when everybody else is starving to death, you're gaining weight.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Oh, wait. We don't live in that time anymore.
And then
anymore.
You're able
this
to...
This is a curse.
Yeah, and then the more weight you gain, the more you're able to, you know, procreate.
Yeah, so I have a patient who... I have lots and lots of patients who do well with intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
That's another thing to lose weight. And intermittent fasting sounds like it's a crash diet, but it's not. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And what you do is you don't eat for periods of time. Either you do this every day.
So like 8 o'clock dinner, but then it's fasting for 12 hours after that.
Or 15 hours or 18 hours or 20 hours or whatever, some amount of hours. So most of the time, if you do it for 18 hours.
Wow, people do 18-hour intermittent fast?
Yeah, and it works better. The longer you do it, the better it works.
So my thing is I like to take my vitamins in the morning. If I take them on an empty stomach, I get sick.
Yeah, you should be eating breakfast then. So if you're going to do an intermittent fast, you're not going to miss breakfast. You're going to miss dinner.
Okay.
So here's the thing. There's a mechanism here. It has to do with insulin. Again, long-term viewers of the show already heard this explanation, but not everybody's a long-term viewer, so let me just go into it. So when insulin is released, usually in response to your sugars going up, then your body takes the sugar and packs it into fat, and that's what insulin does. It makes fat. If you don't actually need any fat, your body has another hormone that it can release. It's called insulin-like growth factor. It's like insulin because it causes your cells to open up and bring in sugar. But the difference is between insulin and insulin-like growth factor is insulin stores calories, insulin-like growth factor burns calories. Now what happens is we have short-term sugars. We have sugar in circulation that's in our blood. We can burn right now, boop, right this very second, now. We also have sugar that is almost sugar, but not quite. It's ready to go, but we have to do a little conversion, kind of break it apart, send it out. That's called glycogen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like, you know, you count to three and you got a little extra sugar. And then there's sugar that's stored deeply in a system where it's going to take, you know, some hours to get out. That's called fat. So fat is not designed to burn in a minute. It's designed to burn if we run out of everything else.
Okay? Right.
So if you want to not make fat, that is in other words, if you don't want to generate the release of insulin, then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to deplete your shallow sugar stores, the ones that are ready to go now, not immediately, but, you know, in a moment. If those go down low enough, as soon as you get some sugar in you, your body says, no, and we need to replace our shallow stores. We don't need to pack it away for long term.
So do they take it out of the long term storage?
Nope. But what they'll do is whatever you eat just gets packed into the short term storage. So you got a long term hopper and you got a short term hopper, and you eat something. If they're both full, clearly we got enough, it goes to fat. Fat gets higher. If we got a long-term hopper and a short-term hopper, and short-term hopper's low, and you eat something, it goes to the short-term because we need it because we're short.
Uh-huh.
So how do we get short? Because we used it.
Yeah, we burned our metabolism.
Yeah, just burn it. And usually we burned it because it's been a long time since we ate something.
Yep.
So how long? 12 hours? It's at least 2 hours since we ate something. No, that's not long enough. It doesn't do anything.
And you have to be active enough.
Well,
right?
Not necessarily. So you're right. If you want to think about your short-term stores, if you are active, very active, you can burn through those short-term stores in 2 hours. I just said 2 hours isn't long enough, but it is long enough.
If you're active.
If you're running.
Yeah.
For 2 hours.
For 2 hours straight.
Yeah, and run 2 hours straight, you're going to deplete those shallow stores enough, and when your body eats something, it's going to pack it into there. except for who runs for 2 hours straight? There are people who do that.
Yeah.
They're few and far between. Mm-hmm. God bless them. Mm-hmm. The regular rest of us don't do that. So what about riding a bike? I mean, we're not going to run. Let's you would do something less. Then we're talking 3 hours. What about hiking? It has to be vigorous.
Yeah.
Uphill, hard. Now we're talking 4 hours, four and a half, maybe five, depending on how intense it is. What about if we just don't do anything? We just like sit around and do our regular day. 12 hours?
12 hours.
Maybe 18, if you're one of those people.
Okay, so that's how long you should
So it's the same
intermittent
notice thing.
Fast.
You're depleting your shallow stores. You're either going to do it short and fast and hard by exercising, or you're going to do it longer and easier by lighter exercising, or you're going to do it longer still by not exercising. But it's the same thing. You just extend, lower the intensity, extend the time. And so you get the system where your short-term stores get depleted, and then your body gets the insulin-like growth factor upregulated. Now, you think this would just last for one go. It doesn't. If you do this enough, it becomes your default. So when you eat something, you just make the sugar stores. Now, eventually, you'll run out. If you load them up enough, you lose that default, and you switch back to insulin. Your body's not stupid. But if you do this on a regular basis, you give it a poke, you upregulate that system. So what is a poke? If you don't eat dinner twice a week, typically that'll do it, and you'll upregulate it enough, maybe three times a week. Or you miss two meals a couple, one or two times a week. Or you miss an entire day, once a week usually is enough. Or you miss 2 days. Don't you need a thing, just water, for 2 days. That'll upregulate you for 3 weeks. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
The more intense you do this, the stronger the upregulation. Yeah, duh, of course. It makes sense, right? And so you just gotta pick your poison. What do you want to do? You want to not eat for a weekend once a month? There you go. Now you're upregulated. You know, it might be a little wobbly towards the end, but you're going to, more often than not, your body's going to, when you eat something, it's going to put it towards the short term, and you're going to burn it. Your system's going to run hotter. You're just going to burn more calories is what you're going to do.
Right.
Okay. Now, notice, none of this has to do with calories in and calories out.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. This all has to do with your metabolic rate
and
hormones.
And training your metabolic rate.
And how to manipulate
and how
them and
burns.
Get them to do what you want, right? Kind of biohacks is what
yeah.
it is. Now, there's lots and lots of people out there still to this day that'll say, yeah, but Dr. Looper, in the end, it's calories in and calories out. No, it's not. I cannot stress that enough. No, it's not. It does not work that way. It's hormones that run the show. You want to lose weight, you got to get your hormones in line. You want not want to lose weight, then hormones can they'll do whatever, right? There are people whose hormones are solidly tipped towards weight calorie storage. That's just how they're built. They genetically came that way. These are the superior humans, the ones that don't die.
Yeah.
Yeah, those ones. They live among us.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't lose weight. They do everything perfectly right. They don't lose weight. You think they're fat eating cheesecake at night, and they're not. They're living on nuts and berries, and they can't lose any weight. I know. They come to my clinic. I could think of a half dozen of them right now, off the top of my head.
I have several friends who just don't put on weight. Like,
oh, yeah,
no matter
the other ones
eat.
Are perfect, the ones that don't put on weight. Right, me too. We have patients the same way. Doesn't matter what they eat. They could eat cheesecake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and have brownies for dessert on top of the cheesecake, and they don't gain an ounce. It doesn't matter. It just really, it's not how the system works. They just burn it all. Well, how's that even happen? I mean, why, is the whole system broke? Yes, it is. They are broke. Now, you think it's a great advantage because they're slender, right? But it's not. Heaven forbid we run out of food. They're the first ones to go.
True.
And it's a thing. It happens occasionally. You know, we don't do it
so
much anymore.
Are they not absorbing their nutrients when they eat?
They're burning them.
They're burning them.
They're burning them is what they're doing. They run hotter. They're just literally burning them.
We could probably go into another episode about this sometime, but I think that's all we have for today.
Yeah, let me summarize it. The best thing to do is set up a pattern. And you set up a pattern of food, you set up a pattern of intermittent fasting. And the bottom line here is if you really want to be healthy, you just have to get your head around something. With rare exception, there's those people. But with rare exception, you're going to have to be hungry. You have to plan hunger into your life. You have to choose at some point you're going to be hungry. You're going to be hungry in the morning, or you're going to be hungry at night. I prefer to be hungry when I'm sleepy.
You know, I prefer to be hungry in the morning, I think, because I can be, like, conscious and, like, aware. At night, if I get a craving...
Night's hard.
Yeah,
eating is hard.
I go to my kitchen.
Yeah, the best way to gain weight,
creative.
You could fast all day long, and then you eat a lot before you go to bed, you're going to get fat.
Right.
Because that's how it works.
Yeah.
Because now you're burning any calories, and your body's just going to take all that extra sugar and
just
pack
it
into fat.
Actually, like, shutting down. It's metabolizing food when it's supposed to be resting.
It's supposed to be, actually, not only that, it's supposed to be burning fat.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be going to bed with an empty or near empty stomach. That way you switch into fat metabolism, so you burn fat all night long. that's how to do it. You want to get down to it, that's the best way. It's the most painless way is to don't eat late. Okay. Now, you don't know this, sir. Anybody who's ever done a diet, that's step number one, don't eat late.
Well, you know, when I was bodybuilding, I was eating every 3 hours, and I ate, and my last meal was at 9 p.m.
Yeah, there's lots of ways to skin a cat on this thing. Again, it's setting up the system. And no, we went through this whole show, we never mentioned leptins once. Well, can't talk about everything. It's only been a half an hour.
No, we're going to have to cover it next time. Thank you so much, Dr. Looper.
Well, always a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.